The lectionary texts from the Gospel today present a harsh juxtaposition between Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and trial before Pilate and crucifixion. In these two accounts, I am consistently fascinated by the crowd, the mostly undifferentiated mass of people, a combination of residents of Jerusalem and those visiting for the Passover festival, sometimes also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Our first gospel reading describes the crowd like this. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So often we love to imagine ourselves in this crowd. We tell this story each year on Palm Sunday, and we have our palm fronds, and some of us wave them in the air as we sing our hosannas. And I want to ask us to turn back to 597 in the hymnals to sing one more verse of this and to remember as we sing that this song is a gift to us from our brothers and sisters in Tanzania. We can move to fully participate in that gift. Sana, sana, nina, sana, sana, sana. Sana, sana, nina, sana, sana, sana. Sana, 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 nina, sana, sana, sana. Sana, 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 nina, sana, sana, sana. I know of other churches, I'm not going to ask us to do this, who go out into the neighborhood, who parade around the block, waving their palms and singing. We want to be part of this crowd. We want to welcome Jesus into the city. We want to sing and shout for joy. But the story continues. The story of Jesus and the crowd does not end here with the entry into Jerusalem. The crowd continues to come up again and again through Jesus' stay in the city. The crowd follows Jesus to the temple, continuing to sing Hosanna to the Son of David as he drives out the money changers and cures the blind and the lame. The crowd returns to the temple with Jesus the next day when he came to teach. That day where the crowd intimidates the chief priests and the elders who wanted to arrest Jesus then but did not because they feared the crowd. The crowd continued to listen as Jesus taught in the temple. As Jesus was questioned by the religious and civil authorities, we still like to imagine ourselves as part of this crowd, listening to the words of Jesus directly, unfiltered through translation and scholarly reconstruction of worn and fragmented scraps of paper, unfiltered by even the original text of the gospel writers themselves, but later, the crowd begins to turn. They were thrilled to see Jesus disrupt the money changers whose rates seemed to shift day by day, whose scales seemed never to be properly in balance. They were happy to jump in, scooping up the coins that ended up on the ground as Jesus flipped the tables. They loved listening as Jesus outsmarted the scribes and elders, the priestly caste who stood between the people and God. But then Jesus stopped talking about other people. Stopped talking about the money changers and the lawyers and the priests. Jesus stopped talking about the politicians and Roman authorities and started talking to the people about the things that they needed to do, the things that they needed to change. No longer could they listen to Jesus just talking about how those other people over there are wrong. But they had to hear how they were wrong, how they too needed to repent, how they needed to turn back to God. The crowd needed to listen as Jesus told them that they also needed to support those with less than themselves, that they too shared in the responsibility for the world in which they lived, for the problems that were around them, and that they too needed to change. At first, it was the fear of the crowd that delayed Jesus' arrest. Later, after Jesus is arrested away from the city and away from the crowd, that same fear of the crowd leads to Peter's threefold denial. Remember that Peter's denial comes after he is recognized, not just as another person in the crowd, but as one of the leaders, as one of the people who was at the front with Jesus. Peter is recognized because this is the same crowd, the same people who cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," as Jesus entered the city, cried out for Pilate to release Barabbas, cried out, "Let him be crucified," about Jesus of Nazareth. It was the same crowd that mocked Jesus as he was on the cross, the same crowd that threw the words to which they had listened so attentively back at Jesus, saying to him, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself." For all of the pageantry we deploy as we seek to identify ourselves with the crowd as Jesus entered, we are terrified to recognize that the text does not identify these as two different crowds, a good crowd and a bad mob. No, these are the same crowd. These are the same people, one day chanting Hosanna and later chanting Crucify Him. We don't like to remember this because we don't like to be reminded that we are fickle human beings. We are quick to turn against leaders who do not immediately satisfy our wants. We are quick to turn against those who fail to live up to our expectations. We are quick to chase and then abandon each new thing. Much as the crowds in Jerusalem were quick to join the party when Jesus entered the city and then quick to abandon him when following him became less new, less exciting, less convenient. So often we in the church today like the idea of change. We like to hear about new ideas and programs and activities and events, but when the newness wears off, when it comes time for maintenance, for the mundane task of keeping things running, of welcoming strangers, of greeting people we do not know, our interest drops. Who can tell me how many Presbyterians it takes to change a light bulb? We can't change that light bulb. Betty Sue's grandmother gave it to the church when the building was first wired for electricity. It didn't burn out. It's just always been dark in this room. We've just learned to see in the dimness. We are, each of us, moral agents. We are, each of us, part of the crowd, and we are, each of us, able to decide if we're going to follow the crowd down that same familiar, well-worn path from excitement to disillusionment to hostility. We can choose to follow that path again, or we can choose to work to steer the crowd in a new direction. A crowd, like a church, is a great, ponderous school bus, battleship, aircraft carrier. It is a beast to turn. But the more of us who work to turn it, the easier it will seem. And for that, thanks be to God.